Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, we are doing a very special program. It's actually part one of what's going to become a two-part show on Conducting Conversations. We have the world-famous, talented, and good-looking Joe Perillo is with me tonight. Welcome to the studio, Joe.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Joe Perillo, of course, is known to our WCRI audience for his jazz show that airs every Friday night. And Joe and I have known each other for a while now. Actually was a guest on Conducting Conversation many years ago when I said, gee, you ought to have your own show. And now he does, and it's more popular than mine.
But really? Wow. Okay.
Well, I don't know about
I don't
that,
know. Yeah.
But I figured I would say that since you're the guest.
Sure. Right.
And Joe, as a longtime jazz artist, we're going to find out a little bit about his background, how it all started, and what he does when he plays jazz on WCRI, where he gets his inspirations from, and the fact that he has many albums out. What, about 7 or 8, 9?
I think I'm working on about 12 now.
12, all right. Yeah. We'll hear music from some of those albums, but let's start at the beginning, and I should say that the reason we're doing a two-part show, which is a little unusual for Conducting Conversations, is the fact that Joe is about to come up with his 500th show, the milestone of 500, coming up on WCRI. It's a pretty amazing amount. I know, because I remember my 500th.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, I'm sure.
Many years ago. But Joe's 500th will be coming up in April, at the April 16th, actually. And so I thought it'd be cool if we brought him into the studio and talked about jazz and the life of Joe Perillo. Let's start out with, where were you born, Joe? What city?
I was born in Providence.
Hey, actually. How you doing?
Yes, that's where I was born. Roger Williams Hospital on Academy Avenue, I guess.
Roger
in
Williams
Providence.
Hospital.
That's it.
Providence, all right. Mm-hmm. And so name like Perillo, a good Italian name.
Yeah.
Because there's an O in it, right? It was like right. O'Malley, O'Hennessy,
yes.
Perillo.
The O is just on the other
O's
end.
O is at the other end. It works differently.
Right,
then.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
So you were born at that hospital in Providence. And what section of Providence did you grow up in?
Pretty much between the West End and the East End, you know, in Providence there, Federal Hill.
Between the West End and the East End. Yeah, that would be the middle.
Sure. That would, yeah, downtown Providence, downtown Oneyville.
Right.
But we were in, yeah. When we were kids, we wanted to be like fancy, so we called it Federal Heights.
Of course, Federal Heights.
Yes.
Absolutely. I remember that very well. I grew up in Warwick, and I remember you guys. Hey,
yeah,
you know.
That's it. That's where I grew up.
Well, Federal Hill, and stayed there. Did you, how long? All through school?
Pretty much. I mean, I went to Holy Ghost. I went to the parochial school there, a Holy Ghost school. And then from there, I went to Central High School in Providence. And I stayed there and went to Rhode Island College. And I didn't move out. And actually, I moved to Warwick while I was in my college career to be... We had a band house where the band rehearsed, and a couple of us members lived there and stuff in Warwick.
I'm sure it was extremely neat and tidy.
Yes, it was. It was very neat and tidy, and we were on our best behavior all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
And no one smoked or drank or anything like that.
None of those things.
None of those
At least
things.
I didn't.
All right. And that was in the 1970s, I would think?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I graduated. I actually took a little time off from college and went out to California with a band for a while, and then I went back and finished college. So I it took me, I was on the 5-year plan.
Okay.
So I graduated from Rhode Island College in 1975.
All right. So when you say band, was the band a typical 70s rock and roll band?
Or? Yes, pretty okay. typical, yeah.
So not jazz?
Not jazz at all. I was listening to jazz, but I wasn't really playing it per se. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now, fast forward, you are a Steinway artist and Grammy-nominated pianist, and lots of things, lots of accolades have come your way. You were head of the music department at URI for a while.
Yeah,
You still teach, I presume, right?
I teach part time now because I retired this past June. So I retired from URI after 35 years and 5 years at CCRI. I started that quite a while ago, back in 1980, when I put my first album out in 1982. So between the teaching and the playing and the gigging and stuff, it's been a pretty rich, full life.
There you go. Well, don't say that yet. I mean, you're only halfway.
That's right. Yeah, I've got another 70 years, I hope.
There you go. All right. Now, you mentioned first album, Is the first song we're going to hear from that album?
Yes, from Songbook. That was actually vinyl and released in 1981, recorded in 19. Yeah. And we're going to hear a tune called Song for Dave.
Okay.
I got a chance to study with Dave Holland, who played with Miles Davis and quite a few other people.
Oh.
A wonderful musician and a wonderful teacher and a total inspiration for me.
And this is a song you wrote?
Yes.
All right. Song for Dave. We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of Joe Perillo.
Thank you.
Joe Perillo is my special guest on Conducting Conversations this evening. I'm Mike Maino, and very pleased to be talking with Joe about his career in jazz and the fact that he has a show here on WCRI every Friday night called Jazz After Dinner. Now, besides your background, which we talked a little bit about in the first segment, Joe, we didn't really talk about your introduction to jazz and when did that transform from the rock and roll band to deciding that maybe this is what you wanted to do?
It really started to change for me, I think, when I was playing with the different bands, that I wanted to get into more of a focus on what I was doing pianistically and on the piano and change it up a little bit. And I was listening to musicians by then. I was listening to Oscar Peterson. I was listening to all the oldies but goodie musicians, the jazz musicians, who weren't so old back then, but I was listening to some real traditional players and stuff. And I was really inspired by how much the piano was featured. And, you know, in rock and roll music, the guitar's the feature. I mean, it's very, right. it's the signature for rock and roll music. It really sure is.
Keyboard with the rock and roll band?
Yeah.
Okay. I was playing so keyboards. You were always a keyboard player,
yeah,
so to speak.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. And I always loved, you know, when Stevie Wonder came out and all the keyboard things and stuff like that, but I was really attracted to the focus of the piano, mm-hmm, and that instrument. And so then when I started hearing people like Chick Corea and some of the modern players, you know, that were coming up through the Miles Davis groups and things, I just really got hooked, and I started heading in that direction. And I studied with a guy by the name of Mike Gibbs, who wrote for Gary Burton, who wrote for a lot of different people. And he encouraged me to really, what was my sound? What was my music? So that was a cross of folk music and rock music and jazz, and I've been working on that combination ever since. But the jazz really just really got me when I heard these piano players just taking on that instrument and really making it work. That's what happened.
That's right. That would have been an era when it was not unusual. For example, the Carpenters would come out and play the piano, and she would sing. You know, he would play. And so it wasn't unusual that piano was and keyboard in general was getting more involved again. Yeah. And there were lots of pianists. You were, I remember, you know, you think of pianists, and unfortunately, the first thing that came to my mind, I was going to say to you in that time period, was Liberace.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and Victor Borger. I mean, yeah. they were the people that were well known playing the piano. And to me, if I think of somebody like Fats Waller or something like that, I think of these going back that far of someone playing the piano.
Mm. Sure.
Versus what was popular at the time. So. Yeah. So you were in that stage of when music was really changing from the original jazz. To a more sophisticated, I guess you might use that term.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, more sophisticated in some ways, avant-garde jazz, and everything in between too. You know what? Where Miles was taking it, you know, when he did the Bitches Brew album, was totally just a lot of free jazz and improvisation, and he was bringing in keyboards with piano and a whole mix of electronic music and things. So it really helped me gravitate to it, and then those players from Miles really inspired me when I heard them play piano. Mm-hmm. And that just took me off in that direction.
Now, at what point in time does you know, the general public, do you think, start accepting the newer jazz compared to the, you know, what was, you know, back in the day of the old clubs? And was there ever a transition? Was ever somebody like Count Basie, was that jazz, or was that just big band, or was it on the fringe?
Yeah, that was jazz. That was Count Basie, particularly. That was Kansas City jazz. Mm-hmm. You know what was going on. He was a big band player, but some of his small, you know, his albums with small groups. He even has a duet with Oscar Peterson. I'm pretty sure an album with, and then he and maybe Duke Ellington did an album together. But yeah, that was still the older players with really come from the tradition of New York jazz, New Orleans jazz, Kansas City jazz, and then it started to make the shifts when Miles Davis really started taking it through different styles. And then when he got into the modern era in the 70s, that was a big shift in what was happening in jazz with the innovators like Miles and Coltrane, Bill Evans, you know, different players that were really changing it up and what was going to happen, and started introducing more rock flavors into their music. And some, like the Modern Jazz Quartet, were actually influenced by classical music in their jazz. So it really started to fuse all the different styles, I think, in the 70s. That's when it really kicked in, all the fusion of different stuff, because jazz was improvisation and people came from different places of their improvisation.
Sure, absolutely. So, yeah. And different styles created, and I'm sure a lot of regional effects were coming into play as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, you bet.
Let's get back to that first piece that we played, the song for Dave that you wrote. That was with how many musicians did we hear roughly in that kind of a song? Was there, you know, it's more than just you playing the piano, obviously.
Right. And, yeah. That was a quartet back then. So that was me on piano. Bruce Abbott was on saxophone on that one. I had Dave Zinno on bass. All local guys. And this the drummer was Chris Bellamo.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was a wonderful, and we recorded that at Star Trek Studios that was originally in Cranston, Rhode Island. I think they're in Warwick now, and he still does a lot of work doing that, Jack Rometta. And, so I recorded that in 1980.
All right. Yeah. And then the second album after that was called Clouds, is that correct?
Yes. Yep. That was on the second album that came out, mid-80s, maybe 1986 or 87.
All right, let's give Clouds a listen at this point, and you can tell us about that after it's done.
Okay. Thank you.
So there we have Clouds, which is the title cut of the second album of Joe Perillo. And let's talk about some of the people that were in that recording. This was just a couple years later?
Yes, it was maybe about 5 years later.
Okay.
That I did that. And that was with Wendy Klein on flute and Dave Howard on guitar, Mark Poniatowski on bass, Rick Andre on drums, and Joe Mowat on percussion. And I'm pretty sure Bruce Abbott is on that recording, too, with some duets with Wendy and Bruce. So that was
This Bruce Abbott neat. Guy, it sounds like we've got to get a show about him at some point in time.
Fine musician, yep, and he's not too far away on the Cape, you know, living the dream out there.
Let's go to another cut from that before we take another break. This is called Friends.
This is called Song for a Friend.
Song for a Friend.
Which actually has been retitled since then. On another album, and it's For Those Who Remain was the name of the tune. It was a friend of mine who passed away back then, and I was asked to write a song. So I wrote a song, and I wanted to change the name to it. So, yeah.
We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of Joe Perillo. Music of Joe Perillo here on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Maino and very pleased to be sitting with Joe in what's going to be a two-part series. We have tonight's show that we're doing, and then we're going to do a follow-up on the second half of his career of recordings next week also. So stay tuned for that. And this is all in preparation for Joe's 500th show here on WCRI, which is Jazz After Dinner. Heard on Friday nights. Check it out. If for some reason you've been doing other things on Friday night, you now need to change your schedule so that you can listen to Joe on Friday night's Jazz After Dinner. Or you can do what a lot of people do and listen to the podcast, which is on the WCRI website, just like Conducting Conversations is and the other shows that I produce during the week. So check out podcasts on classical959.com. Right now, let's get back to Joe, and we've listened to two albums. One called Clouds was that last one. I think we covered everybody that was on that recording.
Yeah, we did.
And
we did.
Now we're going to move on to, chronologically, the next album, which is entitled what?
Almost Carefree.
Almost Carefree.
Right. I was still wondering if I was yet.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And who would be joining you in this album?
Well, it was myself on keyboards and Wendy Klein again on flute, Rick Kudo on percussion, John DeBasu on bass, Paul Mason on drums, and Dave Howard on guitar. That was a group that really we stuck together for quite a while and played a lot of gigs.
It's funny how you hear the names and they're you know, like Rick Kudo, for example, sure. You know, I've dealt with over the years, and everybody knows somebody, and it's...
Right.
It's Rhode Island.
It's Rhode Island, yeah. I mean, Rick Kudo's just an incredible graphics designer. He's done more album covers. Album covers and CDs by people, and he's a fabulous musician, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, at this point, when did Steinway come into the picture for you? Is this about now, or is this later in life?
This is about now. Okay. When I finished my second album, so that was in the 90s, when I became a Steinway artist.
So this particular album, you're a Steinway artist, and what does that mean?
Well, you get to go to Steinway Hall and say hi to everyone, and you get to play on any Steinway you want there. And I never really got it to a point to a large concert where they actually brought Steinways in for me, but I got to, piano tuners would come in and tune the Steinways for me on some of the gigs I did and I got to play on Steinway's 150th anniversary, which was wonderful at Symphony Hall in Boston. And I got a good discount on the Steinway that I bought.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And I know a Steinway that you play just about every month in concert, which is located in Providence at the Music Mansion.
Yeah. It's funny
how I know about that.
Yes, but, funny how you do.
But you do a show there, usually the second Friday of the month, I believe.
Right. Yeah.
A small, intimate jazz show in the Music Mansion, which normally would seat 75 to 100 people, but during the pandemic, you're actually going to be doing some shows with a small group, right? Small audience of like about 20 or so?
Yeah, I think they can do maybe a third. Maybe they can do up to 30 at the most. Yeah.
All right, so check that out. Go to musicmansion.org if you want to find out about Joe's schedule there. And you also have Facebook, obviously, that people can catch up and find out where you're going.
They can,
And anything else? You have a website still?
Actually, we're reconstructing the website, so there's no website right now, but I'm on Facebook and Instagram. They can get in touch with me that way, or Joe Perillo Music. I got a YouTube channel now and things like that as well.
Wow.
So,
you know, Joe Perillo Productions.
Yes, rebuilding as we go.
All right, let's get to another piece of music, and chronologically, this song is called Lucy. Tell us about this one.
Well, it was Lucy's theme. I've really been always enamored with Charlie Brown and Lucy, and just how Lucy handled the men around and the cartoon characters, which just made me smile all the time. And so I just felt that she needed her own tune. Lucy Van Pelt needed her own song because we had the Charlie Brown song.
Sure.
And I said she was left out. So I wrote this I wrote this in 1994. That's when we did the album. And so she could have her own personal theme.
Let's listen to Lucy's theme. Thank you. Lucy from Peanuts, not the Lucy that you might be thinking of with Lucy.
Right.
No, that's a different one.
That's a different Lucy.
So this Lucy, that Lucy got plenty of attention. One you did, you needed more attention.
I think she did it. She needed her own theme song.
And
so
got
that's
her own
why
theme
we did
song.
That. Yeah.
We're going to go now to the next album as it goes along so that we can get in a piece of music before this show ends and part two picks up next week. This is called Block Island Summer is the title of the whole album?
Yeah, the album's Block Island Summer, and that's the title cut.
And that's the title cut that we're going to get to listen to. Tell us who's in this recording.
It's the same group that was on the Almost Carefree album. This was recorded and released in 1996, 2 years later. And I'm on keyboards, and Wendy Klein on flute, Dave Howard on guitar, John DeBasso on bass, Rick Kutu on percussion, and Paul Mason on drums.
And Block Island Summer was inspired because you went there a lot? Or
yeah, we went there, and the ensemble actually played there for a two-week stint. At Springhouse. That's it. Springhouse, and that was the inspiration for that tune.
Excellent. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll listen to that, and I was going to say goodbye, but we're only saying goodbye for this week because Joe will be back next week, and we'll finish up the second half of his recordings that we have to listen to. Thanks for being here, Joe.
Thank you for having me.
All right, and I think it's only appropriate that we close this before we hear the song with Joe, the way he closes all of his shows. Joe, give us your traditional sign-off.
Okay. Have a wonderful weekend, a wonderful week. Peace. Good night.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.